Steve Lloyd Moffat. This is his first time here. He is a professor of comparative religion at Cal Poly. And his hometown is San Luis Obispo. He currently lives in San Luis Obispo, so he's all about San Luis Obispo, I think, is what we can get. So come on up, Steve.
I feel like I should be taller. So since I have run the religious studies program up at Cal Poly, what I want to do is tell true stories of two people that I know who had very lucky occurrences. And these stories are intertwined at their beginning. And their beginning is at the same spot, which is in Serbia in the early 1940s. And both these men were part of the Serbian army. And on a given Sunday, I don't know if it was the same Sunday, but it was around the same Sunday, they both had gone to church, which was required of the Serbian army at the time as they were fighting the Nazis. That day, in a firefight, one of the men, a man named Stefan, was shot. And he was running down a pathway, and he felt the bullet go through his stomach and out the other side. And he looked down, and he was spewing blood. And he could hear the Nazis chasing him down the road. And at that point, he jumped into the ditch, and he held his wound. And he held the piece of bread that they had given him at church when he left. Serbia is an Orthodox country. And when you leave church, they give you a little piece of bread called the Andiron, which is a blessed bread. And he prayed, and he said, "Lord, if you save me, I will dedicate my life to you." And he held his wound, he closed his eyes, and he says that he woke up, and the blood was still there, but there was no wound left anymore. And the Nazis didn't see him there in the ditch. And so in the ditch, he says, "I've got an obligation to do." He took off his uniform, got into his t-shirt and his shorts, and he started to walk. And he started to walk south to a place called Mount Athos, which is in Greece. And it's a monastic community that's been around since the 5th century. It's where I do a lot of my research. And it's a fascinating place. It's been dedicated to monks for this entire time. Women aren't allowed on it because it's just a monastic island. And he walked for about 3 weeks trying to hide from the Nazis until he arrived at Mount Athos. And there, at the south tip of Mount Athos, are where the hermits live. And he said, "If I need to hide from the Nazis, and at this point from the Serbians, I need to really hide." And so he found a hermit that lived in a cave about 150 feet above the water. And he was a Russian guy. And being Serbian, Stefan spoke a little bit of Russian. He climbed up a ladder up to this guy's cave, and he spent the next 14 years in that cave. Now, let me go back to the day and tell the other story, because it begins on the similar situation. It was a Sunday, and Javorad, or I know him as Mr. Jancic, he had a piece of bread, too, from church. He got engaged in a firefight, but unlike Stefan, he wasn't shot, he was captured. He spent the next 4 years in a Nazi prisoner of war camp. But he kept the piece of bread that he was given, the blessed piece of bread, and he kept it on him. And he said, "I will only eat it if I die, if I'm near death, or I'm rescued." And there were three times over the next 4 years where he just about grabbed that bread. I don't know the first time, but I can tell you the second and the third time. The second time was he had gotten down to about 90 pounds. Because, of course, they don't feed you well in Nazi war camps. And he was so sick. And he said, "Today is the day I die." And he reached to get that piece of bread. And he put it in towards his mouth. And he didn't have the strength to put it in his mouth to allow himself to die. And he got better. And he put it back. in his coat. Another time, the Allies bombed the prisoner of war camp, and he was under the rubble. And he was under the rubble for 3 days with no food or no water. And he went to grab that piece of bread to say, now's the time I'm going to die. I want this bread. And he went to put it near his mouth, and he heard somebody call for any survivors from it. And they dragged him out, and he put it back into his pocket. Eventually, he heard the Americans come and liberate him. And when he shook the first American's hand, he took that piece of bread that was still in his pocket from 4 years before, put it in his mouth, and ate it. Let me go back to Father Stefan. Father Stefan lived with a Russian monk on Mount Athos for 14 years in that cave. The Russian monk died. He took over a different hermitage. He eventually wrote a few books, one called The End of the World, which eventually got translated into 16 languages. And they had lost a couple of pages of the English translation, so I did an English translation of it. He never left that hermitage at the end of Mount Athos, but people came to him. People like me, I was doing research, but thousands of people came to him over the years. And in fact, the mayor of Thessaloniki, one of the more powerful, Thessaloniki being the second biggest city in Greece, would come visit him every 2 weeks to ask for advice, even though here was a man who for 40 years hadn't left his cave. And if you ever wonder what an Old Testament prophet looks like, go see Father Stefan, because his hair goes out in every direction. His glasses are twisted. The Apostle Paul has a statement, pray continuously. And Father Stefan's figured out how. He has a dialogue that's happening at the same time. And the Orthodox prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And he says this as he's having a conversation with you. So he says, Stephen, it's good, Lord Jesus Christ, to see you. Have mercy upon me. I want to show you, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Something. And he says this, and you think, is he crazy? Or is he holy? Or are those the same thing looking from different perspectives? And he lived there up until just a few years ago. Let me go back to Mr. Jancic. Mr. Jancic went on to get a college degree. He went on to get a master's degree. He was an engineer. He moved eventually to Atascadero. He wanted to have a place to pray because his faith had survived him during that time. He came to the Greeks in town who were the only Orthodox, and he asked, can I join you to pray? And they said, you're not Greek. And he said, but I am faithful. And they said, you can come, but you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to say anything in Serbian. A few years ago, I became the president of that church. And one of the things that I wanted people to do was to have the opportunity to speak in the language of their heart. And so about 3 years ago, we began a process where when you get to the Lord's Prayer, people could say it in the language of their heart. And I'll never forget that Mr. Jancic was the first one to say it. And he stood up and he began to say the Lord's Prayer in Serbian, and he cried throughout it. He was 90 years old when he first got to say in America the Lord's Prayer publicly in his language. He still is alive. He's 93 now. And every time a child takes communion and afterwards gets the blessed bread, you know how children are. They sort of throw it in their face. And I remember my son Basil, who's in the back. He took one of those pieces of bread and he dropped it on the ground, not even noticing. And Mr. Jancic came at 90, 91 years old, picked that up and said, sometimes bread gives you life. Don't waste it. And he does that to every child to this day. Let me go back to Father Stefan. Father Stefan lived into his 90s. A couple of years ago, that gentle balance between craziness and holiness went to the craziness side. He took a boat. He took off all his clothes. And he was walking back to Serbia, naked, in his 90s, and said, it's time to go home. He died on a road in Greece about an hour outside of Mount Athos when he was 92. Two men, beginnings, as luck would have it, put them in different directions, and each found a faithful existence in their own way. Thanks.